You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
We've been teaching on the baptism with the Holy Ghost for the last few weeks, and of course Chris ministered, did an excellent job last Wednesday night. Bert and I were in Oklahoma preaching in Ardmore, Oklahoma. But the 3 weeks prior to that, we taught on the baptism with the Holy Ghost out of Acts 2, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost out of Acts 10, and then Acts 19. And explained, in all that, we explained how that in Acts 11, Peter had to go give an account, you know, because Peter had gone in Acts 10. Y'all remember that, where he went to Cornelius' house and he'd ministered to some Gentiles, which was just unknown. You didn't do that in the early church. There was some racism there that they had to break through. And supernaturally, God visited Peter, and he went and visited Cornelius, who had been praying, who was a Gentile centurion, and he was in his house in Acts 10 preaching to him, and the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the words that he preached, and they heard them speak with tongues, and so they were baptized with the Holy Spirit, saved and baptized with the Holy Ghost, and then they water baptized them. And that all took place in Acts 10, and in Acts 11, he had to give account of that. He had to go to the council at Jerusalem. In other words, there were other Christians, there were other apostles that had heard about him going to a house of Gentiles, and they said, "Why did you do that?" And he explained to them, "Well, the Spirit of God told me to go, and while I was preaching to them, the Holy Ghost fell on them just like he did on us at the beginning," meaning Acts 2, the beginning. And so when they heard that, they thought, "Wow, salvation must have come to the Gentiles." So they said, "That's okay." And it's from that point on that they start ministering to Gentiles. And God actually raised up Paul to do just that. Just as God raised Peter up to minister to Jews, he raised Paul up to minister to Gentiles. And so then you begin to have all these Gentile churches. Acts 13, 13th chapter of Acts is when Paul and Barnabas went out. I mean, they went out and began to preach all over. They went up to the region of Galatia. They preached in Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, Antioch, Pisidia. Y'all know where all those places are, don't you? Present-day Turkey is where it was. And they established Gentile churches. And then it just went on from there. They went from the region of Galatia, and Acts 19, they went to Ephesus and ministered there. So we covered some of that ground and talked about the baptism of the Holy Ghost in Acts 2. It tells us in Acts 2:4 that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we know they spoke with tongues in Acts 2. That's what it says. In Acts 10, it tells us the same thing, that as Peter was speaking to these people in Acts 10, the 46th verse, says they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So they were filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost fell on them, and they spoke in tongues. And then in Acts 19, we had turned there and talked about how Paul administered to 12 disciples of John. He didn't know they were disciples of John, thought they were Christians. Began to talk to him. The more he talked to him, realized they're not even really saved. They were still preaching what John was preaching. So he led them to the Lord, as it were, and laid his hands on them. And the Bible says that when he did that, when he laid his hands on the Holy Ghost, this is the 6th verse of the 19th chapter, Ephesians 19, verse 6. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues. So there it is again. You got Acts 2:4, they spoke with tongues. You got Acts 10, 46, they spoke with tongues. You got Acts 19:6, they spoke with tongues. Now, can you see some common ground here? Something common. I mean, this is detective work. This is Holy Ghost detective work. You go through the Scripture, you see an experience, you see a result of the experience, or something that happens in that experience. You see it again, same experience, same result. You see it again, same experience, same result. I think we've got a pattern here, that they spoke with tongues. Now, this was being baptized with the Holy Ghost. This is not being saved. This is not being born again. This is not getting their sins forgiven. This is associated and worded very plainly. The Holy Ghost came on them. The Holy Ghost fell on them. Or they were filled with the Holy Ghost. This is what was prophesied about Jesus. And this is what Jesus himself said would happen in Acts 1:8. Now, if you're writing notes, if you want to write these scriptures down real quick, Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist speaking, he says, "I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Mark 1:8, "Indeed, John the Baptist saying again, Mark 1:8, I have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Luke 3:16. You know about John 3:16? Well, Luke 3:16, John answered and said to them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one comes mightier than I, whose latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John 1:33, John the Baptist said, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending, that's Jesus, and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. So there's four accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where it says that John baptized with water, but Jesus would baptize with the Holy Ghost. And then in Acts 1:4, we went over that, it says, being assembled together with them. You can just write these notes down, Acts 1:4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, this is Jesus, commanded them, the disciples, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, fifth verse, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Man, I mean, I don't know how much clearer that could be. I mean, it says in all four Gospels, Jesus refers to it, repeats it, refers to what John said in Acts, the first chapter. And then he says in the eighth verse, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He didn't say you will be saved. He didn't say you'll be forgiven. You'll receive eternal life. You'll be born again. You become new creatures. No, that comes from accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. That comes from believing that he has been raised from the dead and confessing him as Lord. That's what Romans 10:9 tells us, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Nothing about tongues, nothing about the Holy Ghost there. Are you with me? John 1:12 says, to as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, who were born not according to the will of man or the blood or natural flesh or blood, but those that were born of the will of God, even to those that believe on his name. Believing on his name is how you become a son of God. It's how you become a child of God, how you become saved, how you're confessing Jesus as Lord. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Nothing about tongues, nothing about the Holy Ghost. That's salvation. Yeah, out there. So what happened in Acts 2 was not salvation. What happened in Acts 2 was they received power after the Holy Ghost came upon them, and when he did, they spoke with tongues. Acts 2:4, Acts 10:46, Acts 19:6, all three cases. Amen. Now, let's turn over to Acts 8 and look at that instance, because I often hear that brought up and it says, well, it didn't say they spoke in tongues in Acts 8. Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Let's check that out. Acts, the 8th chapter. Now, this is the account where Philip, it's interesting, went to Samaria and, the Holy Ghost fell. They had revival. They had miracles. They had signs and wonders. This is after the persecution of the church. The church began to scatter. And so Philip, who was one of the seven deacons, mentioned in Acts, the 6th chapter, he was one of the seven deacons, just a man full of the Holy Ghost, you know. It wasn't the apostle. It was a deacon. It says the 5th verse. Y'all tracking with me? Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Man, I love that. I just think that's so cool, because we often just say in a word, preach Christ. Okay, what did he do? Did he just get up and say, Christ, 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 Christ? No, we understood when he says preach Christ, he preached about Jesus Christ. Y'all need to amen or something while I'm getting a drink of water. It's those dead pauses. Amen. Or, yes, amen. Hallelujah. Let's do it again. It says he preached Christ, but it was understood that when you preach Christ, that meant a lot. That didn't just mean you get up there and say Jesus. You got up there and man, you prayed for the sick. You had miracles. You had signs. Wonders. That's all preaching Christ. That's just preaching Christ. Because it says he preached Christ to them and multitudes with one accord, sixth verse, heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. That's called preaching Christ. Amen? Okay, now why is that? Because that's what Jesus did. If you're going to preach Christ fully, are you out there? Everybody say fully. If you're going to fully preach Christ, then you'd have to pray for some people. You know, you'd have to have a miracle or two along the way. You'd have to pray for some sick people because that's what Jesus did. I mean, he didn't just give us the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, he laid hands on the sick and raised the dead, cast out devils. So if we're going to preach Christ, we're going to preach a living, vibrant, miracle-working Christ. Isn't that right? And so when we fully preach him, that's what Paul said, with signs and wonders, I have fully preached Christ. That's what Paul said. Romans 15, he says that. But here, it says, for unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many, seventh verse, who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. Hallelujah. Woo! Man, that was some kind of service, wasn't it? That's preaching Jesus there. And there was great joy in that city. I guess so. I mean, this is not a quiet service. This wasn't a service where, you know, everybody was just, you know, not smiling, not acting like they were having a good time. And there's not a creature were stirring, not even a mouse. No, there's great joy, and joy came from deliverance. It came from healing. It came from miracles. It came from people being set free. That's what church should be, a place where people get free. Hallelujah, get healed. It says, but there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city. Oh, my, they had a sorcerer there. And he was and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. See, people are so confused about the power of God. I mean, they really are. They attribute to God things that are not God. And they seek God in all the wrong places. You know, the psychics and the New Age teaching, all those things. And I'll tell you why they do that. Because Philip hadn't showed up yet. Are you with me? The reason people don't seek in church what they're seeking outside of church is because Philip hadn't come to town yet. We need some Phillips that will stand up and Phillips that will come to church and preach and teach. Are you with me? And Phillips that will pray for the sick and lay hands on the sick and talk about miracles, signs, and wonders and cast out devils. And then people wouldn't be going to the psychic and they wouldn't be going to this New Age teaching because the power of God should be in the church. Are you out there? That's where it should be. That's where it's supposed to be. So here, obviously, power of God was there. And so now they're looking away from Simon, looking back to God, where they should have been all the time. And Simon himself showed up and was impressed and moved by it himself. And they heeded him, 11th verse, because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long, long time. He was like the spiritual leader of that town. He was the one you went to if you had some ailment or something wrong. He'd give you an eye of newt and a leg of a frog or hair of a dog or something, I don't know, you know, he'd put it all together, mix up something here, drink this, and then, or wave his magic wand or whatever, and you'd get better, or die, you know. I'm sure a lot of them died, but anyway. Well, I mean, really, I mean, that's what the world does when they don't know that God does miracles, they don't know that God heals, you don't go to God. So, that's what they'd look to him as a great man of God. 12th verse says, but when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Wow. Man. That to me is just so power-packed. You know, he preached things. He preached some things. What kind of things did he preach? Well, evidently he preached on healing. Evidently he preached on miracles. He preached on forgiveness. He preached on restoration. He preached God loved them or they wouldn't have kept coming. He preached there was hope for them or they would turn around and left. Are you with me? He preached that God was for them, not against them, and on their side, and they could change their destiny, and they could come out of the mess they're in, and come out of the sin they're in. But you know what? They could be healed, and you know, and they could be set free, that God's a healing God. He's a miracle-working God. He preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, there's a lot of things concerning the name of Jesus that we're not hearing a whole lot about. We should be hearing that. We should hear in the church that the name of Jesus is above every name. We ought to be hearing that the name of Jesus used in prayer causes the devil to flee, hallelujah, and causes miracles, signs, and wonders to come, and causes answers to prayer to take place. We ought to be hearing about the things of the name of Jesus. And we ought to be hearing about the things of the kingdom of God. We hear about the things of the world. We hear things about the Republican Party. We hear about the things of the Democrat Party. We hear about the things of the independents. We hear about the things of America and the things of Europe. And what about the things of the kingdom of God? That's the real power, isn't it? The kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There are things, lots of things concerning the kingdom that we need to be preaching, and lots of things concerning the name of Jesus that we need to be preaching. And when they heard it, they believed. And the result was lame were healed, people paralyzed were set free, demons came out of people crying out with loud voices, and there was great joy in the city. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. So all this took place, and then when they believed, both men and women were baptized. Wow. So obviously they become Christians. Wouldn't you say that? I mean, I don't see anywhere in the Scripture where they baptize people that have not accepted Jesus. They baptize them if they accept Jesus. In fact, go on in that same chapter, if you'll notice when Peter or Philip ran into this Ethiopian eunuch, you know, he was preaching to him, and he said, "What keeps me or hinders me from being baptized?" And he said, "Well, do you believe?" And he said, "I believe Jesus is the Christ." On that confession, he took him into the water. But the only thing that kept him from being water baptized was, first, you got to know Jesus to be water baptized. You got to be saved before you go in the water. The water doesn't save us. The water is a sign that we are saved. Are you with me? So it says here, they believed. Both men and women were baptized. Let me ask you a question. You think they were baptized in water? Think they baptized in water there? I think they did. Because I look in the Bible, and that's a good thing to do. And I see when they baptize people, they baptize them in water. They didn't baptize them in mud. They didn't baptize them in sand. Did they baptize them in sand? You think they baptized them in chicken feathers? That'd be a stretch to say that, wouldn't it? I mean, we wouldn't say that, would we? Would you say that, well, I think right there he baptized him in chicken feathers because it doesn't say the baptizement of water. Well, it was understood to baptize him. Wouldn't you say it's understood to baptize him in water? Well, y'all going to have to help me here. Come on, wake up. If I've got to stay awake, you got to stay awake. I mean, that's just the deal. That's the deal. So he baptized them. And I'm sure they're baptized in water because that's what they did all through the book of Acts. That's what John did. And when we baptize people here, we baptize them in water. Isn't that what we do? It didn't say Jesus baptized, it says they baptized them. So we know that men baptize people in water. That's what men do. But now, wait a minute. It doesn't say that here. But isn't that assumed? Okay. All right. I'm with you. I'm not arguing with you. I think that's a good point. In fact, I believe they were baptized in water. And I know that because of the other cases where people were baptized. In that same chapter later on, that's what he does. He baptized somebody in water. Isn't that right? Okay. So it's not a stretch here. I don't have to make up something. I could just say, well, according to the Bible, although it doesn't say it right there, we know and we understand that when it says they were baptized, that they were baptized in water. I understand that's what happened because that's what happened in all the other cases, right? Okay. Let's go on a little further. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. I'm sure he was baptized in water too, wouldn't you say? He's probably baptized in water. Men probably baptized him. Okay. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And when they came down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute. Were they saved? Weren't they saved? They believed and they were baptized. They've been healed. Miracles took place. People lame walk. They believed what Philip said and they were baptized. They were saved. Weren't they saved? That's what the Scripture says. So what's this? Now they're coming down that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Oh, wait a minute. Now we're talking about a separate experience from salvation. Y'all see that? These are people that have been accepted Jesus, believed Philip. What did Philip preach? Christ. They believe what Philip preached concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus, and both men and women were baptized. These are Christians. These are believers in Jesus. But Peter and John found out that they had not received the Holy Spirit. So they came down, and when they came down, 15th verse, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, what was that? That was the water baptism, right? Baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Woohoo!
Amen. That's good.
Next verse. And when Simon saw, everybody say saw, that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Well, obviously, he had some things still working in him. He had to get out of them. Some people say, well, he wasn't saved. I don't know. I believe he was saved. He got baptized himself. He believed and got baptized. But he still had a little con in him. He had to get out, you know. Are you with me? And people get all upset. No, he wasn't saved. Well, you know, I'm not going to make a big deal of it. You can still go to heaven and believe that. If you believe he wasn't saved, you can still go to heaven. I just think he was. He just got in sin real quick. He saw a way to make some money. He was the power. He was the head honcho in town now. He was wanting to be the head honcho again. And so he wanted the power to do this so when all these guys left, he could keep it going, you know, and make a little money. He even offered money to buy the power. He thought it was some power they had he could get from them. That when you lay hands on people, they got the Holy Ghost. Now, I've heard often say, well, you know, we make the case in Acts 2, we make the case in Acts 10, we make the case in Acts 19. But when we go over to Acts 8, it doesn't say they spoke in tongues in Acts 8. And they're right. It doesn't say they spoke in tongues in Acts 8. But I know they did speak in tongues in Acts 8 because they spoke in tongues in Acts 2, and they spoke in tongues in Acts 10, they spoke in tongues in Acts 19. As sure as I know when they baptize them in water because they baptize them in water when they baptize them in other places. Are you out there? Because if we try to make a case they didn't speak in tongues, they did something else, then you could make the same case they baptized them in something other than water. You'll have to make a stretch. You'll have to make up something because it's not in the Bible. Because in the Bible, where it does describe it, they baptized them in water. And where the Bible does describe the Holy Ghost coming on them, 2, 10, 19, they spoke in tongues. Now, we know something happened, something of such magnitude that Simon was willing to offer money to buy the power to do whatever happened to them. Because it says when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered money. He saw something, and the question would be, what did he see when they laid hands on him? Them? What happened? Something happened. Well, you go look at Acts 2, go look at Acts 10, go look at Acts 19. What does it say happened in all those cases? The one thing that happened in all three cases was they spoke in tongues. Some cases they would prophesy. There were some cloven tongues that were mentioned in the Acts 2, but that's not mentioned again. But tongues is mentioned in every single case. Are you with me? I mean, I think it's pretty simple. Tommy, just stand up here. I'll just use Tommy as an example. I mean, here's Tommy. Here's, he's, say, the Samaritans that have gotten saved. I'm Peter and John, okay? I go lay hands on them and say, receive the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost comes on him. Go sit down, Tommy. And there's Simon going, wow, I want the power to do that. Well, nothing happened. What do you mean? Why would a man spend money for nothing that happened? Here, come on, I'll take it. Yeah, good. I got Simon's money, but what I'm saying, something, they didn't just lay hands on him. Yeah, it's okay, go sit down. No, something happened. And the question would be, what happened? Well, we know what happened in Acts 2, in Acts 10, Acts 19, right? So wouldn't it make sense that without making up something, we'd say the biblical examples that we have, they spoke in tongues. Now, you can make up whatever you want to make up, but if you go with the Bible, kind of crazy, isn't it, trying to go with the Bible? But if you go with the Bible, they spoke in tongues. And if you're going to make up something, then you have to back up and use the same logic. Now, you're going to have to make up something for how they were baptized or what they were baptized in earlier, because it says they were baptized earlier and didn't say water. But we know it was water. Y'all out there? So I'd submit to you in this case, the only reasonable thing, the only logical thing, the only biblical thing, without making up something, would be to say that when they laid hands on him, they spoke with other tongues, because that's what they did in all the other cases. Wow. Does that make sense? I mean, that's in other words, what I'm doing is I'm not making up anything. What I'm doing is just taking the Bible record for it. I'm not speculating on what happened. I'm just saying what happened in the Bible in other cases is what happened here. I'm using the Scripture to do my speculating. Make sense? I'm using the Scripture to fill in the blanks instead of just making up something to fill in the blanks. I let the Scripture fill in the blanks. That's a good practice when you're studying Scripture. When you don't have all the information in one verse, and yet you have this thing again mentioned in another place. You know, often Matthew, Mark, Luke, those three Gospels many times repeat instances or healings that took place. And sometimes you don't get all the information in one. You get a little more in another one. And you get a little more in another one. You put them all together, man, you got a lot of information. Amen. You know, you got some interaction between Jairus and Jesus on his way to raise his daughter from the dead. You know, it's mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But there's a little more in one than another, a little different account in one than the other. You put them all together, oh, man, you got something now. They're not contradicting each other. It's just one's got a little more information than another. And so Acts 8 doesn't contradict Acts 19, Acts 10, Acts 2. It just doesn't give all the details. But if you put them all together, we know the Holy Ghost came on them. We know they prayed for them to get the Holy Ghost. We know it was after salvation. Isn't that right? We knew it was a separate experience. And we know something happened that caused this man that was a sorcerer to want to buy the power to do whatever happened. What happened, without making anything up, must have spoken other tongues. Shanda atolio ribatata. Amen. I mean tongues, tongues, neo-Pentecostal modern-day phenomena. Tongues. Hallelujah. Now, this is an experience you see. Thank God for the book of Acts. I don't know what we do without it. Honestly, I don't know how some churches avoid it, but they do. We have the book of Acts that is just filled with supernatural experiences and with the baptism of the Holy Spirit laid out for us. I mean, I don't know how much more you can lay out. Would you want five accounts? You want six accounts? Seven? There's four accounts here. There's three in great detail. And then they're discussing it again in Acts 11, which would make five if you made that discussion part of it. It's all through here. So, you know, some Christians be hard-pressed to give you five scriptures on salvation, on how to be saved. What does, well, we know John 3:16, Romans 10:9. You know, those are two big ones. Well, here we have several scriptures that give us detail on being baptized with the Holy Spirit and speaking with other tongues. Ooh, hallelujah. Good stuff. Amen. With much detail and much instruction. Well, let's read on. So it says, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also that anyone whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. Something happened, so I want something to happen when I do that. Well, he didn't need money to do that. He just needed to believe. Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You can't buy the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? Now, this is not the gift of eternal life. This is not the gift of salvation. This is the gift of God to His children. I heard it explained like this, and Luke makes the case in the last chapter of Luke, and he wrote Acts by the Holy Ghost. He wrote both these epistles, letters, that God's gift to the sinner is eternal life. But God's gift to His children is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or the promise of the Father. That's what Jesus called it, the promise of the Father, in Acts, the first chapter. That wasn't eternal life. When you're lost, all God can give you is eternal life. Once you get saved and become a child of God, now you're ready for the Holy Spirit to come on you. This is something you see a pattern even in the Old Testament, is they would apply the blood, then they'd apply the oil. Anyone that was unclean, in Leviticus, if you go back through that, the priest would have to take them and examine them, and he'd take blood and put it on their right earlobe, and he'd put it on their right thumb, and he'd put it on their right toe, and then he would come back and he'd put oil over that ear and over that thumb and over that toe. The blood was first, the oil was second. The blood saved you, cleaned you, and then now you're ready for the Holy Spirit to come on you. Terry, wait, in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from all. You're saved now. You're washed in the blood. You're children of the living God. You're new creatures in Christ Jesus. You're born again. Now wait in Jerusalem till you be endued with power. Not till you be saved. Not till you get forgiven. Not till you become a child of God. But now that you are saved and cleansed by my blood, you're holy now. You can receive this. You can have this now. The Holy Spirit will be comfortable flowing through you now because you're cleaned by the blood. Tarry, wait in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. After the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you shall receive power, not eternal life, not forgiveness of sins, not the new birth, not become a child of God. No, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Samaria and Judea and all uttermost parts of the earth. See, that's the pattern that you see here. There, even though we see in Acts 10 they were baptized in water last, they got saved first because they believed the word, then the Holy Spirit fell on them. That's something you don't see confused. You have to be saved, then the Holy Spirit comes on you. Water baptism can get mixed up in there sometimes. Are you with me? But the Holy Ghost doesn't come on you till you are saved. That's the pattern that we see here. They'd heard, they must have had a big revival there. Obviously, they had a lot of miracles took place and healings took place and many sick of the palsy and lame were healed. I always thought that was fascinating too, because it centered in on specific healings. You know, in 1 Corinthians 12, one of the nine gifts was gifts of healings, plural, gifts of healings. And I've noticed in some evangelists that, and heard some great ministers and that I grew up under, would say that they've noticed in their ministry, you know, they had more success in one area than another. It seems like Brother Osteen could just lay all hands on anybody, had a skin rash, and it disappeared. Are you with me? It just seemed like that he prayed for anything, but man, he just was hitting 100% on that one, you know. And then Benny Hinn will even talk about sometimes, you know, different healings would take place, more prominent. Some people are more, you'll see more cripples getting healed, more blind eyes popping open in some ministries than others, because those are gifts of healings. Are you with me? And in this case, it says, strangely, it says many sick of the palsies were healed and many lame were healed. It just names those two diseases. Like Philip flowed in that. He flowed in that particular gift of healing more than some others. And we'll get into the gifts of the Spirit and talk about them later. In fact, we're going to go from baptism of the Holy Ghost to the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. But I thought that was significant when you look at this, that you see this specifically mentioning two different type healings that took place, instead of just saying everybody was healed. See, Jesus, it says all manner of sickness and disease. All manner. It doesn't say that about anybody else, but it says about it, Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus received the Spirit without measure. Okay? We receive the Spirit in measure. Oh, we have the same Holy Spirit. But see, I don't have all the callings that Jesus had. But Jesus had everything. He had all the callings. Yeah, and knew how to use it. He received it without measure. But see, you're not going to find a pastor that is also an apostle, an evangelist, and a teacher. And are you with me? You might find a pastor teacher. That's what I am, pastor teacher. I'm not an evangelist. I mean, I'm obligated to win people to the Lord because I'm a Christian, but I don't have the calling of evangelists on me. I've seen God called evangelists, and I recognize that, but I don't have that gift. That's not a gift on me. It's not a. Are you with me? You're out there. I'm not an apostle. You said, well, you did an apostolic work here. Yeah, but I just came and started this church as an apostle, maybe an apostolic work, but I hadn't gone and started other churches. I'm not an apostle. I'm not a prophet. Just because I may give a interpretation. Hey, listen, just because you give somebody a word does not make you a prophet, all right? Let's get that straight. A prophet is they are in ministry. They are prophesying. And they, boy, what they say comes to pass. I mean, this. I'm talking a scriptural, biblical prophet. I do have the gift of interpretation that flows through me pretty well when someone gives a tongue. I think that kind of goes with pastoring, I don't know. But I'm not a prophet just because I interpret. I've seen the future. Just a snippet before. God's revealed to me in a vision a thing or two, but that didn't make me a prophet. Are you out there? It's not, I've had word of knowledge come, you know, but it doesn't flow all the time in me. And so I wouldn't be a prophet, but I am a pastor and I am a teacher. But now Jesus had it without measure. See the point I'm making? And Philip comes along and many sick of the palsy, many lame were healed. Just kind of neat when you look at that. And even doing all that, get this, he evidently didn't have a lot of success getting people baptized with the Holy Ghost. Because when they heard he received the word of God, they sent Peter and John down there. Now, I don't believe anybody can pray for anybody to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. I don't know why Philip was hesitant there, but he didn't do it. Evidently, they weren't filled with the Holy Ghost, and Peter and John came down and laid hands on them to get filled with the Holy Ghost. I thought that was interesting, too, when you put that together. But we know this, they did get baptized with the Holy Ghost. They'd already been saved, they'd already been baptized in water, and now they got baptized with the Holy Ghost. 20th verse, let's wrap this thing up. Y'all learn anything? I know I'm kind of rattling here, but it's all pertinent, it's all connected. All has to do with the Scripture. I'll just start quoting Genesis 1 here in a minute and just go through the whole book. But Peter, 20th verse, said to him, "Your money perish with you because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you." He didn't say you need to get saved again. Are you with me? "I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." That can happen to a Christian. And him, he didn't let go of some things. He believed the message. He accepted it. He was water baptized. And I assume he got baptized in the Holy Ghost too. But when he saw it happen to everybody else, he wanted it. That thing came back on him. And he said, "You better repent." And I assume that he did. Because it says, "Then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me." Boy, I'll tell you. Thank God. "So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans." So they went back. Peter and John went back. Philip, in the middle of all this, God calls him out to the middle of the desert. You know, you don't make your agenda or your plan. God does. He speaks to you and he leads you, and you need to listen to him when he does. Why would you leave revival in Samaria and go out in the middle of the desert, hook up one guy in a chariot? Well, that's what God wanted him to do. God's interested in the one. Amen? That one man got saved and evidently took the gospel back to Ethiopia. Woo! You just never know. I mean, somebody went and ministered to me. They didn't know I was going to pastor a church and go around the world preaching. Just a guy on a construction job. But me, I was important. You know, somebody witnessed to you. Somebody ministered to Billy Graham. Who knew what Billy Graham's going to be? Somebody led him to the Lord. Good stuff. Amen? Okay, so back to the Holy Ghost. Let me wrap this up. Baptism of the Holy Ghost, we know from Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19, that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. It was a separate experience. Everybody say separate experience. Okay. It's after salvation, and in many of these cases, after they were water baptized. In one case, it happened right before they got water baptized, Acts 10. But when it did happen to them, Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19, they spoke with other tongues. And I believe they did here in Acts 8. Something supernatural happened, something Simon saw happen, and the only thing we know that happened in all these other cases was they spoke with other tongues. Simply put, if you don't speak in tongues, you can be a Christian, you be saved, you can, you know, God hears you when you pray, and you can live holy, and you're a good person. There's no, you're not A-rate, B-rate here, okay, if you're speaking tongues, don't speak in tongues. But if you don't speak in tongues, you're not baptized with the Holy Ghost. That's simple. Because the evidence is, the way they knew they were, was that they spoke with other tongues. Simply put. Now you can, because it's for everybody. It's not just for people that go to Pentecostal churches, people go to Charismatic churches, people go to Full Gospel churches. It's for Christians. In fact, it's sad, there's a lot of Christians, you know, live their whole life, never get baptized in the Holy Ghost. They're saved, they're going to heaven, they're good people. But they're going to miss out on this experience because they're not being taught. And that's why we teach it.